Last week, Pastor Rich was preaching on preaching from Jerusalem. And we're going to return to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just to go over that again, to refresh our memories. That's Acts chapter 1. Starting in the 6th verse of chapter 1. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even unto the remotest parts of the earth. Now, Pastor Rich preached on that last week. He preached on Jerusalem. Do we remember what our Jerusalem is? It is our hometown. For us, it's our hometown. We're not going to travel over to Jerusalem to start there. But then he went on, Jesus went on and said that we're to go to Samaria. And we're going to cover that this week. What is Samaria? Where is Samaria? Samaria was just north of the kingdom of the Jews, just north of Jerusalem. And Samaritans. In verse 6, the disciples were asking Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Okay. Back in Solomon's time, King David, King Solomon, there was a, after Solomon had passed away, the kingdom got divided, north and south. And the southern part of the kingdom became Judea, okay? And the northern part of the kingdom got taken off into captivity. Brief history, okay? But they were part of the kingdom of Israel. And the Jews weren't happy with the Samaritans. So in my sermon this morning, in the story we're going to look at, Jesus gets into Samaria on his long journeys. And we find that in John chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Just over a little bit, just back a little bit. And I'm going to read the scripture to you first, and then we'll kind of dissect it. We'll look at it, because this is a very important scripture for us. If we're going to go out and evangelize, we have to know how to do it, right? So starting in verse 6 of the 4th chapter of John, the Gospel according to John, it's Jesus' Gospel. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. And it was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? Since I am a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give will give him I will give him, will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so I will not have to be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw. And he said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You have correctly said you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who he is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with the woman. Yet no one said, What do you seek? Or why do you speak to her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, No one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish his work. Do not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. May God add a blessing, not only to the reading, hearing, but also the doing of his holy word. Two aspects we want to look at today in going out to Samaria, okay? The Samaritans were part of the Israeli family, okay? The Jews were part. She said that her father Jacob had given them the well. So this was part of that ancient kingdom that got split up after Solomon had passed away. So when I looked at the scripture and I started praying about it, I started thinking, who are the Samaritans in our lives? They're not way over there in the Middle East, okay? I'm looking at this going, Samaritans are relatives of mine that are kind of far off from me. It was interesting. Yesterday we had a birthday party for my father. He's 80 years old, and I got to see his last surviving sister, my Aunt Linda. And I don't know how she does it, but she looks the same as she did 10 years ago. Okay? So you have family members who are somewhat far off. We don't all live in the same area. Last week, Pastor preached that our Jerusalem's right here in Lebanon, if that's where you live and that's where you start your preaching and you're witnessing and you're telling other people about Jesus. But then we move out from there, okay? So where's our Samaria? It's at our extended family. That's how I'm looking at it. It's our extended family. Are there family members who don't know the love of Jesus? Are there family members in your lives that are sometimes difficult to talk to? You ever have any apprehension talking to some family members? You know, Uncle, and I'm not making fun of anybody, Uncle Bob, is hard to deal with. Not anything against you, Bob McBride. He's not here right now. Or Jim. Some family members are hard to deal with. Some of my family members make fun of me that I'm a preacher, that I preach. And we were sitting at Heisey's having supper with my father for this 80th birthday party, and I'm drinking a bottle of beer with my nephew, Mark. And Mark said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" I said, "Oh, I'm preaching." He started laughing. I said, "Hey, you can come hear me preach." But sadly, a prophet sometimes doesn't have honor in his own family because they've known all the mistakes I made. All right? But does that say that we shouldn't at least talk to them? We should. We should. Be an example to them. Talk to them. Witness to them. Our extended family. And then we take the scriptures that I just read to you about Jesus going to Samaria, stopping at the well, and talking to the woman. And what I see here, what I read to you today, is an outline, a blueprint on how we can witness to other people. The page turned. What's the first thing that Jesus does? He goes. He goes to Samaria. He goes there. He makes the journey. Okay? You have to make the journey in your lives. You have to go and get to the people that you're going to talk to. And it can happen anytime during your daily life. Not just family members, but as you're moving out in your jobs, if you're at Walmart or Kmart or just about any place, you have to get there, right? Then what does Jesus do? He interacts with the woman at the well. He talks to her. I don't know how you guys witness, because I haven't seen any of you witness yet. I mean, I haven't been together when we witness. But if you're just walking through the store going, "Boy, I really hope that somebody sees that I'm a Christian," and you don't say anything, you're just hurrying your way through, right? Nothing's going to happen. You have to make a conversation with people. You have to make eye contact. I have found that when you make eye contact with people, and it's getting more so because everybody's got one of those, and I don't have it with me, thank God, the cell phone, they're walking around like this. How many times do you see that? Through the store. Or like this. They're walking, running into you as they do it. Make eye contact. Talk to them. Say good morning. Jesus did by, because they were at a well, he used the opportunity and said, "Woman, give me a drink." He opened the door. He made himself vulnerable by interacting. Okay? That's what we need to do. You need to interact. Just talk to someone. Okay? Make eye contact. And one of the things you could ask, and this works very well with me a lot of times, ask how they're doing. You say, "Good morning," or "What a beautiful day." And the person will make eye contact with you, hopefully. And then you ask them, "How you doing?" And then be prepared. Okay? Because some people, depending on how old they are, they'll start telling you about everything that's wrong with them. "Oh, I've got a pain here, I've got gout, I've got bunions," and they'll start going through their whole medical history right in the middle of the store. Don't glaze over, okay? The thing is, you want to glaze over and go, "Oh, Lord, oh no, right? Stay in focus. Stay in focus. You know why? That's the door creeping open. The door's opening up. They're being personal with you. Even though they're complaining, okay, don't worry about the complaint, but be personal with them. Keep the eye contact. Let them tell you about the bunions, the liver spots, possible cancer, okay, sore back. And if they even go into, say, their husband or their wife or their kids or their uncles, let them talk. You know why? Because they needed somebody to talk to. The Holy Spirit is opening that door. He's working, all right? Even though they're complaining, just let it go. Let it go. Let it wash over you. You can't heal them, right? Pastor, can we heal them? Nope. Only the Holy Spirit can heal them. Only the power of God. Now, you can lay hands on them gently. You don't want to. That's not laying on hands. Can't choke them. But lay hands on them. Listen to their complaints. And then offer the cure. When they're done, you can say to them, I know of someone who can heal you. And then you give them the gospel. It's that easy. But people are afraid. Whoever here gets afraid to witness? Come on, I want you to, you're in church, you got to give the truth. Huh? Sometimes you get a little apprehensive. It happens. It happens. Okay. When you get apprehensive, what do? You go, no, I can't do that. No. What you ought to do is say, Holy Spirit, I'm scared. Help me. Strengthen me. Little voice in your head, little prayer, and He'll come because He's already there. He'll strengthen you. Don't worry about what you're going to say, okay? The Holy Spirit will guide you. And you'll get your cues from that person, whatever ailment they have. You know, I've had people, when I've stopped to talk to them and I get this dialogue going with them, okay, trying to get that door to open, they'll either complain about their health care, their health problems, or they'll complain about their kids, or they'll complain about their husband or wife, depending on which one you kind of get a hold of, or they'll start complaining about their grandchildren. That, all those complaints are a door. That's all they are. Because you have the answer. Jesus. He fixes everything. Now, do not be surprised if after you tell them that Jesus is the answer, that sometimes the door just goes and they walk off. Or they may say something to you like, you know, you are... Don't want to say it in a sermon, right? And how do you feel after somebody rejects your invitation of the gospel? Do you feel bad? Okay. That's a human condition. You can feel bad. They didn't reject you. Okay? They didn't reject you. I want you to get this firmly planted in your head before it even happens, before you get to Samaria and you start talking to people. They didn't reject you. They rejected Jesus Christ. They didn't reject you. But since they can't see Jesus Christ and all they see is you, they're going to dump it on you. And then what do you do with that? Well, you give it to Jesus. Then you don't feel bad about it, right? That's what you have to do. You have to. Because you're going to be rejected in this world. What happened to our Lord and Savior? All right? They crucified Him. They killed Him. They didn't like what He had to say. They're not going to like what you have to say. All right? But unless the Spirit's moving in their heart, plowing that stone heart up, crushing it, you know, making it so that the gospel can get in there, the truth can get in there that you're bringing. It's not going to get in there. So be ready. You could be rejected. But don't worry about it. You might have planted a seed. You know what I mean? Farmers, they don't go out there and just start picking stuff out of the ground. They got to plant a seed first, a little seed. And you caring enough to talk to these people, okay, to ask how they're doing, even though they don't want to hear the answer, you could be planting that seed. We need to be out in Samaria with our other family members and beyond, which Pastor Rich will touch on next week, to the outermost Jesus points out to his disciples after having a conversation with the woman and she leaves, and the disciples come back and they want to know what's going on. He was talking to a Samaritan woman, and as a Jewish man, he should have never even been talking to a woman that didn't have a male escort, okay? And even a Samaritan, to talk to her, to even take a glass of water from her and drink it, would have made him ceremonially unclean. So the disciples, they don't know what's going on. What is happening here? And Jesus says to them, I have food that you don't know about. To witness to people in your family, outside your family, is a meat and a sustenance that I cannot fully explain to you. I don't know of any pastors that could, because it's supernatural. When you're doing the will of God, He's going to sustain you beyond this gurgling stomach that you have, that you stuff cupcakes in there and Twinkies and chocolate milk and let's see what else. What's our favorite foods that we like to eat? Just about anything with sugar. All right? Anything with sugar? Who likes sugar? I like sugar. Shouldn't like sugar. That's bad for you. But when you're doing the will of God, when you're talking to people in your families, when you're talking to people out on the street, God is sustaining you spiritually. You need to always be ready for that moment. In fact, if you start looking for the moment, looking for the opportunities to preach to the Samaritans, the Holy Spirit's going to provide them. There are lots of people out there that you run into every day unless you stay home and don't even leave the house for a moment. But still, you're still touching people because you're on that crazy cell phone, right? So even if you're stuck in the house, you got electronically connected with Facebook and Twitter and a whole bunch of other places. Put it out on Facebook. I don't care to do that myself. I mean, Facebook's all right. I get there once a week just to look to see what my wife has sent me, because she'll say, Dave, did you see what I sent you? And if I say no, I don't want to be yelled at, so I don't want to get in trouble. Sometimes. Don't lie in church. Okay, I yell at her too. But still, I like human interaction. I love going to people and going, good morning, how are you? Oh, what a lovely dress you have on today. How are you doing today? And then you open the door. And it doesn't matter who it is. Men, women, well, little children, you kind of got to be careful. You can smile at them, but you want to be careful in our day and age of that. But to go talk to people like Rut. Oh, I love Rut. What a lovely handshake. Love you, Rut. But to talk to people, when you shake someone's hand, there is an instant connection. That's all going away because of those electronic devices. Right? To touch someone, to feel them, and then tell them about Jesus, to listen to them. A lot of people that are out there looking for something, they don't know what it is, because our culture is stripping away God, all right? And that's why it's so important, so very important, that you get out there and evangelize. And evangelism is a kind of a theological word, you know what I mean? It puts people off. Oh, I'm not an evangelist. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm not smart enough. Let me tell you something. I'm not smart enough. I'm one of the dumbest people you ever wanted to meet. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit working in me that I can even read. He gives it to me. He gives me the power in those instances. Praise His holy name. Because I'm telling you, you're going to get there and you're going to get all mushy mouthed and everything. Just say, hello, what a nice day. And then shut up and listen. Make eye contact. Let the door open. Let it start. Okay? And just wait for the opportunity. After they tell you all the things that are wrong. And even if they tell you great things, if they tell you something wonderful, say, praise the Lord. And they'll look at you like, what? Praise the Lord. Every once in a while, I'll get with someone, they'll be telling me about stuff. They'll use the Lord's name in vain, and I'll just lift the Lord's name right up there, right as they're talking. Just let them keep going. If they use the Lord's name in vain, say, Lord and Savior. Huh? What did he say? I said, Lord and Savior. And if they ask why, you say, you threw my God's name in the dirt, and I'm going to lift it back up. That's a door opener. That's a big door opener. Sometimes people get mad at you. They'll want to walk away. Let them walk away. If they're mad at you and they want to walk away, okay. But remember, you might have planted that little seed. Because the Holy Spirit starts picking at people's armor. Puts a little clink in there. Once that armor gets a little crack, the more it gets hit on, the more the crack's going to widen. So this day, as I finish up this sermon, may I use the words of Jesus. He said, the fields are white for the harvest. All those people that woman got, they came out of town, they had white turbans on, they had white robes on, and they're coming down from the town to see where Jesus is at the well, probably thousands of them. And Jesus looked and said to his disciples, the fields, they're white, they're ripe for harvest. I want to tell you, this day, the fields are ripe for harvest out there. God has graciously put it in our hands to go out and give the gospel to other people. To pluck them from hell. Because hell is forever. Okay? Well, actually, hell is not forever. Hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is forever. Completely and utterly removed from the love of God. And I'm not saying this as a theologian, but I believe that when you are there, stuck away from God, completely separated from Him and all other people, you're going to think of every time you had the opportunity to accept Christ and didn't. Forever. Forever. Do you remember the illustration I gave you of what eternity looks like? The first second of eternity looks like when a bird comes once a year and pecks at a granite block, 100 miles square by 100 miles square, okay? He gets to come once a year and peck at that rock for a day and then leave. After that rock is completely pecked away, 100 miles by 100 miles, that's the first second of eternity. It never stops. And you all have the wonderful opportunity to give someone the message that they don't have to go there. They can be saved. That Jesus Christ will save them, and you can tell them about that. You may be the person that puts a little clink in their armor and starts the process where the Holy Spirit softens that heart. It may take a while. It may take almost a whole lifetime. But get out there. Talk to people. The fields are white. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I ask that you energize and fill all these people here, your congregation, with the spirit, excuse me, of an evangelist. That in their own unique way, that they can go out and preach the gospel and let people know that Jesus loves them and wants to save them. Father, in all things, I commit to you all these people, myself, and I commit this video out to the internet. Father, I pray for the people in the world who are watching these videos. I pray that they are nourished by them. Receive the benediction. Father, I ask that all these people go out and become evangelists in their own way, preaching the gospel, lifting up the sick, the downtrodden, the beat up, the people that are in sorrow. Father, I ask a blessing upon them, strengthen them this day, and all that they might do for your glory in the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.